Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, August 15th, 2022. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to explore a very important topic. It's the quest, the search for the meaning, for the purpose of life. As a people, we are purpose-oriented. We want to know why we're here, why I exist, what's my goal in life, what is my purpose. And for every person, that may be person relative as to what that goal and meaning is. But I want to talk to us more specifically that the Bible gives us a hope, a reason, and a purpose for living. Often many people are confused. They're on a spiritual search. They want to know why they're here. They want to know what their purpose is. And they look in philosophy. They may look in religion. And they come up empty and still wonder, what is the meaning? What is the search for the meaning of life? There was a song many years ago, many decades ago, by the rock band U2. It was entitled, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And that's kind of the melody, the song that a lot of us sing. I know when I was growing up that I had questions and wanted to know, what is life all about? Most of us do. There is a well-known author and apologist called C.S. Lewis who wrote great books on apologetics, on Christianity, but mainly his focus was on answering this question that I want to talk to us about today. It's called The Longing. The great apologist and Oxford teacher C.S. Lewis describes in his book that inward thirst that all human beings have for something better in life. He calls it a longing. In his classic book, Until We Have Faces, Lewis writes, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty comes from." Well, it's a spiritual quest to find satisfaction, an inward longing to discover that something, that meaning that will bring fulfillment and purpose in our lives. And he goes on to say, that is C.S. Lewis, that if I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Well, we're going to talk about that very interesting topic this morning on The Cross in the Desert. Philosophers down through the ages have been on a quest for the meaning in life, the meaning of life. from Socrates to Plato's and many others, the quest to discover what is ultimate reality has consumed the thinking of man for thousands of years. In all of that time, the search has yielded many questions, more than answers, many opinions, but has not yielded the ultimate solid answers that I think the philosophers have been searching for. But almost 2,000 years ago, on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus Christ made a startling claim to his disciples in regard to the quest for the meaning of life. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What a bold declaration. Jesus was saying to his disciples, if you want to know the way, I am the way. If you want to know the truth, just look at me. And if you are on a quest for the meaning of life, come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I can just imagine the astonishment on the faces of every philosopher if they were listening to Jesus on that fateful night. They would have many questions and would have called Jesus to account for such a bold statement. They may have asked, how can you say that? What qualifies you, Jesus, to make such a claim? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's a fair question. Jesus made this bold statement, but how can he make it? Let's look at his record, at his lifestyle, and see if it can justify that bold declaration. Well, during his earthly ministry, Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He showed compassion on the hurting and broken and gave hope to those who were despaired of life. Therefore, Jesus, I think, can make the claim that if you want life, life if it was meant to be, come to me. Jesus also exposed false prophets, spent much of his time correcting the religious leaders for misrepresenting the law of God. He never lied. He always spoke the truth. That's what the record says. Therefore, I think Jesus can make the claim that if you want to know the truth, come to me. Last of all, but most important, the claims of Jesus were not just empty words written in a book thousands of years ago to inspire people down through the ages. The claims of Jesus were made the night before his crucifixion. The next day, the religious leaders had Jesus tried for blasphemy, for claiming to be God, and he was nailed to a wooden cross. He died an excruciating death, but 3 days later, he rose up from the grave, and he appeared alive to his disciples. So, the claims of Jesus were vindicated by his resurrection. The point being is that Jesus is not a dead philosopher, but a living Savior. He not only made these bold claims, but he is alive to demonstrate that everything he said is true. The point is, if you are on the journey for the quest of the meaning of life, I invite you to seriously consider the claims of Jesus. Why? They have stood the test of time and have changed the lives of billions of people. The point being, these were not just empty words. They were demonstrated. It was a living reality. Jesus backed up and demonstrated everything he claimed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So often, people today make bold statements, whether they be marketing executives, businessmen, religious leaders. They make claims, but they can't back up what they say. If you're on the quest for the meaning of life, you want your meaning to be derived from something you can trust in, a solid foundation. Now, oftentimes, on this quest, on this search for the meaning of life, we ourselves try to find that purpose within ourselves. But if you're broken and despaired, you're not looking within yourself. You're looking outside of yourself for something or someone to give you purpose and meaning. And you have to have a solid foundation. If your life is a mess and it's crumbling, chances are you can try to fix it, but it's probably not going to work. You need help. And that's why Jesus can say, if you want to know the way, I am the way. Come to me. If you want to know the truth, if you're looking for the reasons for your existence, I am the truth. And if you want to know what life is all about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to build on this whole concept of the search for the meaning of life. And I want to talk about the subject of truth, because that's what will help us understand what life is all about. Can we base what we want to believe on something called the truth? Or is it going to be based on opinions and lies and deceptions? If we look within ourselves, are we going to find the truth looking at ourselves? Well, philosophers, sages, and theologians have debated down the centuries as to what is truth. If you were to ask a college student on any given campus today, what is truth? You're bound to receive answers such as, quote, everyone has an opinion or preference, to each his own, and whatever I decide, that's what's right, that's what's true. Well, but here again, we're going to go back to my example. 2,000 years ago, standing before Pontius Pilate, Jesus didn't give an opinion, or he didn't quote one of the philosophers. Here's what Jesus said. Instead, he made a startling affirmation as to what truth was. He looked Pilate directly in the eyes and declared, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize what I say is true. Remember, he had been tried and brought before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who had the power to free him or have him crucified. And he declared that he was king, that he had a kingdom that's not of this world. And Pilate scoffed at this claim, what is truth? He couldn't believe his ears. Who does this man think he is? Instead of bowing down on worship, Pilate mocked Christ's declaration and scoffingly replied, what is truth? He had no idea that he was standing before the very God of the universe, who had came to testify of the truth, who had came to bear witness of the truth, who had came to die for the sins of mankind. And instead of bowing down in awe and worship at Christ's declaration, Pilate mocked the declaration of Christ. What is truth? But that is the attitude of our culture. Our culture has carried on this same mocking and ridicule about the nature of truth. Truth is irrelevant. Only what I decide is right is the mood of our culture. They cast aside all respect, any ridicule. They rebel against any recognized authority. And our culture today has abandoned any standard of righteousness and replaced it with their own whims and wishes. The whole subject of truth has been reduced to preference and whatever feels right at the moment. And you know, you have your taste in ice cream. I like vanilla, you like chocolate, so that settles the argument, what is truth? It's all about preference, not about objective reality. And when you reduce truth to preference and whatever feels right, that's why you have the problems we have today in schools. Kids killing other kids. Kids murdering their parents. When truth is abandoned, we lose our moral sensitivity and we begin calling what is evil good. And you know what I'm talking about. What are they teaching our kids in school today? They are modeling strippers before them, drag queens before them. They're telling them that this is an acceptable lifestyle. They're calling what is evil good. They're teaching them critical race theory and every kind of philosophy that's instilling in them a hatred for their country, a hatred for their own ethnicity, a hatred for their own race, their own color of their skin. This was the sad lament in the book of Judges in the Bible. And there was a common phrase in that book of tragedy and despair. Everyone was doing what was right in the sight of their own eyes. And as a result, there was moral and spiritual decay resulting in the judgment of God. We look back earlier in John's Gospel, as I quoted to you in the beginning. Jesus declared, "I am the way and the truth." 3 chapters later, Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. He said, "Teach them your word, which is truth." John 17:17. So the Bible presents God as a God of truth and integrity. Unfortunately, most of our culture has the cynicism and the unbelief of Pilate, who mockingly says and asks the question, "Well, what is truth?" Well, let me ask you, do you care about what is true and false? Jesus says that if you love the truth, that you will believe and obey him. You know what's wrong today? Our culture is suffering from what I call truth decay. And the only remedy is proclaiming Christ as the truth and affirming that his word is the final authority. And the point being, if you want a life of integrity that will stand against the storms of life when all other foundations are crumbling, then come to Christ and be safe and secure in the truth. The search for the meaning of life means this, that I find something that brings satisfaction, wholeness, and healing to my inner being. That if I am searching for the meaning of life and I put my trust in things, my job, my career, myself, in the end, that is living your life on sinking sand. They become your idols. And idols don't have the power to transform your life. They have the power to keep your life in bondage. And you don't want idols in your life. You don't want to worship your job, yourself, your career. Things will never bring you peace, never bring you satisfaction. So the quest and the search for the meaning of life is to find a foundation of truth that will lead and guide your life in the right direction. Because this idea that it's all up to me and whatever I decide is right is hopeless. As I mentioned, the book of Judges, there was a saying that everyone did what was right in the sight of their own eyes, and there was judgment in the book of judgment. There was spiritual decay and despair. When truth is abandoned and we opt for idolatry instead of truth, our lives will crumble. Jesus taught in Matthew 7 that if you listen to my words and obey them, it's like building your house on a foundation that when the storms of life hit you, it will not crumble. It will not be blown away by the wind and the storms and the floods. It will stand the test. But if you build your life on empty promises, you build it on yourself instead of the rock, the Word of God, when the storms hit, life will crumble before your eyes. I wrote a book, gosh, it's been 10 years ago, called Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Terror. And in this book, Tara is on a journey. She says that everything that will satisfy her is found out on the ocean, the world in the wind of waves. Her brother disappeared on his journey around the world in a sailboat a year before. He never arrived at the port of call. He never came back. And It crushed Tara and her family. And so she gets out on her sailboat, the Mistral Wind, on a spiritual journey to find herself, but also to find her brother. I won't tell you what happens because you want to read the book. It's got a surprise ending. But the point is that Tara was driven by the wind. It was like a calling for her to come out on the ocean, the world in the wind of waves. What is your calling? What voice are you listening to? If you listen to the voice of yourself and what you think is right and your own heart's desire, trust me, it's going to end up in despair and loneliness. Because we're sinful creatures. Our hearts are not trustworthy guides. But if you listen to the words of Christ and to the call of Christ who says, come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you listen to Christ who says, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth, all who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. If you want truth, if you want meaning, if you want purpose, Jesus says, I am the way. And so I urge you, come to him. He will give your life meaning. I want us to pause right now and listen to a song of worship from Bethel Music. It's all about the goodness of God. Let's listen.
I've been held in your hand.
Beautiful worship music from Bethel Music, the goodness of God. God is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good is the invitation. This morning on the cross in the desert, I've invited us to look carefully at what it means to live and breathe and exist as a human, who you are, why you're here, where you're going. The questions that you asked are answered by Jesus. And so this morning, we have explored what Jesus says and means by I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only living Savior. He's the only one that has died and rose again. All other false religious leaders are still in the grave, but Jesus is alive. He's a living Savior. And I'm not asking you to come to religion to find the purpose and meaning of life. I'm asking you to come to a person who can save you and give you purpose and meaning, and that is Jesus. Thank you so much for listening this morning to The Cross in the Desert. I want you to have an incredible week, and I will see you again on Thursday.